One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey, I'm Steph.
I'm Alex.
And this is Not Today, our true survival story podcast where we talk about survival stories, whether it be true crime or wilderness or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You get it. You know.
Haven't figured out the limiting factor yet.
No. I mean, right now our limiting factor is you got to survive.
You can't die. Yeah.
Well, at least one person, I feel like. Because there's some cases that I kind of want to cover where, like, people have died, but, like, there's someone who didn't.
Yeah, those will be rough.
Well, honestly, this is kind of one of those. But we're not going
to...
I mean, is that a spoiler? I don't know. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. But let's talk about Crum.
Let's talk about Crum.
So
very exciting.
Very exciting. Crum is my puppy. I mentioned her in the last episode, and I am getting her in less than a week. And I can't even wait. I'm so excited.
Yeah, you've been just a ball of nervous energy that you weren't going to get her on Saturday.
I know.
But, like, happy that you
were. Well, yeah, because the breeder told me that she might not have been able to come home because she's under 2 pounds, literally under 2 pounds. And she was like...
I thought you said she gained weight.
She did.
Like almost 3 now.
She did, yeah, because I met her a couple days ago and she was like 1.7 pounds or something stupid like that. And now she's like 1.12 pounds. So she's gaining
weight. A skinty legend.
A skinty queen. But, so, yeah, I'm getting her in less than a week, and I'm telling anyone that will hear me, and you are included in that. So thank you for indulging my conversation.
Your puppy.
My puppy talk.
Puppy talk.
But
wait,
yeah.
Wait, so what's the official weight that she is, like?
Right. I mean, according to the breeder yesterday, she was, like, 1.12 pounds, and she's supposed to be 2
wait,
pounds.
Wait, what? 1.12?
Yeah. Or 1.12. No, I don't know. Well,
you mean
16
pound
ounces.
And 12 ounces?
Yeah. Yeah, you got
okay.
me. Yeah.
So 1.75 pounds.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
God.
I'm sorry. I'm so stupid.
You're not good at the
conversions. No. I have an excuse. I'm caffeined up. I just drank a cold brew. I'm absolutely beaning. And so I'm shaking.
That's your excuse.
Yes.
Caffeine inhibits brain.
Correct. It's fine. We're making it through.
Yeah. I love cold brew.
I really do.
It's so easy to make, too.
It's very
just
easy.
Like you throw beans and water and put it in your fridge.
We love
for
bean
12
soup.
Hours or 24 if you're really yes. looking for, like, liquid cocaine.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at, so love
yeah.
that.
The other thing is, like, what happened yesterday. I don't know if I told you, but, like, I just heard, like, random, like, screams outside our apartment.
Yeah, you mentioned, but, like, what happened?
Like, it only happened twice, mm-hmm. but it was weird because I was, like, listening to another podcast or listening to music, and, like, I kind of heard it peripherally, mm-hmm. and then I was like, that kind of sounded weird. Like, it was kind of one of those, it could have been playful, but it also could have been somebody...
Something sinister?
Murdered? Yeah, I don't know. So, like, I like threw off my headphones and I like ripped the like sliding door open mm-hmm. and like looked outside. Like I couldn't see anything. It wasn't like I heard it again when I didn't have headphones on.
Right.
And I'm thinking, I'm like, what the fuck do I do in this situation? Cause like it could have been something sinister, but also could have been just somebody.
Just someone screaming.
Someone screaming something. And like, I couldn't hear it again. And I'm like imagining the conversation I would have with the cops. Like, yeah, I heard a scream, like, I don't know what to do. Like, well, did you see anyone? No. Do you know where it came from? Not exactly. Do you have anything for us to go off of? No.
No,
I was like,
sorry.
Okay, yeah, that'd probably be pretty pointless.
Yeah. Well,
so,
at least you had the impulse. That's good, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
But
just like, you know, we are anti people dying on this podcast. We're anti crime.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to do my part.
You're doing amazing. Yeah. Well, that's spooky, but I mean, hopefully it wasn't anything.
But like, I don't know what can you do?
Yeah. And I mean, nothing, you know? At that point. But yeah, hopefully it wasn't anything crazy, but who knows?
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. It's a pretty safe area, but then again, crazier things have happened. But yeah, I'm so excited about this story because it.
Yeah, apparently this is some case I should know.
Yes, you absolutely should.
I did recognize it by the name. Maybe I do know it just by the details, but not the person's name.
Yeah, well, that's crazy.
We'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm telling the story of Gypsy Rose and Dee Dee Blanchard, but really the story of Gypsy Rose Blanchard. Mm. And if you don't know the story, you are in for a very fucked up time, but like very
fucked up
fun fucked up time. Not fun, it's a crazy story. I enjoy it. I'm very morbid. I'm sorry, that was really weird. But it's
maybe not fun.
Well, not fun, but like super crazy and just all the things. Interesting. Yes. And so if you haven't heard it, that's tight. But if you have heard it, oh my God,
it's tight.
Please keep listening. It's still going to be fun. I promise. Okay, great.
They did a whole series on this, right?
Oh yeah. So there was a whole, this story is huge. There was a whole TV series, made about it. It was called The Act. It was on Hulu and it was really good. Honestly, I enjoyed it. Apparently there was some things that they did that they took like too much liberty with, and the people who are like actually a part of the story.
Oh, was it a dramatic like reenactment?
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't like a documentary. It was like
it was actually a TV series.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But the people were like kind of. I mean, the people meaning like the people in her life were like, they were like, I don't know why they took artistic liberty with like X, Y, and Z because it was crazy enough as is. Like, why did they change that? But it was still really good. I enjoyed it, and I do know the story. And you know, it wasn't it wasn't bad to me.
You know the story.
I definitely.
You're about to tell it.
I'm right about to tell it. We're gonna jump in right now. So, I want to start by talking about Dee Dee Blanchard. So, Dee Dee was Gypsy's mother, and so she was born in Chack Bay, Louisiana. Don't know if I'm saying that right. Sorry if I didn't. A place near the Gulf Coast. In 1967, she grew up with her family in Golden Meadow, Louisiana, and she would occasionally engage in petty theft as a way to like rebel when something didn't go her way. Early on in her adult life, she worked as a nurse's aide, and actually her family later speculated that Dee Dee was to blame for her mother's death in 1997, and they believed that Dee Dee starved her because she was like her main caretaker, because she was working as this like nurse's aide and her mom was getting older and she was, you know, the person who was taking care of her.
Wait, so Dee Dee was taking care of her stepmom?
No, not her stepmom.
Her mom.
Her actual mom. And her family speculated that she starved her mother.
Feed her?
Yeah, and she died. Wow. So Dee Dee was a lot like her mother. I think her mother was, I don't know if her mother was also kind of a low-key criminal, but she was like a shoplifter. This is Dee Dee. She would steal money from her family members. And
I'm sorry, are you talking about Dee Dee or her mom?
I think both of them, because it said she was a lot like her mother, and then it said she was a shoplifter and would steal money from her family members. So I think,
okay, so it runs in the family.
It runs in the family, yeah. So like I said, Dee Dee was her mother's main caretaker. And after her mother's death, her family members reported that her mother was emaciated and dirty.
So she didn't properly bathe or feed her.
Yeah, she like really didn't care for her very
that's
well.
So fucked up. It's like, a how do you do that to a person?
Just you wait.
Oh no. So, we're not even like a minute in.
I know. So so Dee Dee,
this is gonna be rough.
Yeah, it is. A whole TV series
was
made
about
it. All right,
continue.
Okay.
I'm acknowledging it. I'm going to prepare the audience.
Yes, we're all prepared. So when Dee Dee was 24, she met 17-year-old Rob Blanchard at a local bowling alley.
Blanchard.
Yes. A few weeks after Dee Dee and Rob began dating, Dee Dee got pregnant. And Rob...
A few weeks.
Yeah, they move quick.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
No, but they did.
You've been dating somebody for 2 weeks, and they're like, yeah, I'm pregnant.
I mean, I feel like crazier things have
I'm
happened.
I'm really actually pregnant.
I mean, it do be like that, you know?
What year is this?
I don't know. She was 24. I don't, she was
when
born.
When was she born?
She was born in 1967. Do the math. Do it up.
1967?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's, it's probably 91.
It doesn't really matter. Is it 91?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it is. Absolutely. Because yeah. That's the year that that Gypsy was born. Hello?
Yeah, I'm just trying to, like, give cultural context. Like, I don't know if, because I feel like in the 60s and, like, older times, like, condoms weren't a thing, apparently. I mean, like, I think they were, but, like, people used them less.
I don't know. Probably. Don't know.
But, like, getting pregnant was, at young, was more common.
Sure.
I guess was the
well,
point.
She did. So
she did at 24.
Well, she was 24, but he was 17. So it's like, ooh.
Oh, that's weird.
It's a little weird.
17 is not ready to be a father.
No, definitely not. So Rob asked Dee Dee to marry him because he believed it was the right thing to do, and they named their daughter Gypsy Rose. Dee Dee liked the name Gypsy, and Rod was a big fan of the band Guns N' Roses. So they got Gypsy Rose.
I can't imagine naming my daughter Gypsy.
I know, but I mean,
like, isn't that
well,
kind
I
of
mean,
a derogatory term?
I think so. I think,
like,
so.
It's not positive.
Yeah, I don't think it is, but I mean,
you know, here we are.
I don't know. They liked the names and they mashed them together. So she was born. Gypsy Rose was born in July of 1991, and Dee Dee and Rod had separated at that point. They were not married for very long, clearly. Rod thought that they had gotten married for the wrong reason, and he had made a mistake really early on, and he said that Dee Dee was very odd, and she would make him feel very uncomfortable. He said that there was a darkness about her, and she talked about witchcraft and had a pet tarantula and would get very angry when he left her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
What a combination.
You, like, accidentally get this girl pregnant. She's, like, petting tarantulas and shit.
And witchcraft. And
she's doing witchcraft.
She's very
she's
angry all the time.
She's bringing the Ouija board around.
Yeah.
Who knows what happens.
So she tried to get him to come back, but when that didn't work, she took Gypsy to live with her family for a while. So one of Dee Dee's nephews said that Gypsy's birth was slightly premature, affecting her skull. But other than that, she had no known health issues from when she was a baby. Okay.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
According to Rod, who was still in Gypsy's life at this point, when Gypsy was around 3 months old, Dee Dee started reporting to Rod that Gypsy had seizures and sleep apnea, and she began taking her to the hospital very frequently. Gypsy had multiple tests done, including overnight stays with the sleep monitor in the hospital, but none of the tests found any signs of the conditions that Dee Dee was claiming.
So this bitch was lying.
Yes, she's a liar, liar, pants on fire type bitch.
Pants.
Yes. So
can I ask one question?
Yeah.
Where is this? Like, what?
Louisiana.
State? Louisiana. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Dee Dee was convinced that Gypsy had major health issues, which she said was due to an unspecified chromosomal disorder, whatever that means.
Okay.
Even
what medical qualifications do you have to say chromosomal?
She
You don't even know what that word means, probably.
Well,
I don't know what that word means.
She was a nurse's aide, so she had, like, some medical background, which really, honestly, like, made...
Nurse's aide? Okay.
She made doctors
Maybe.
Believe that she knew a lot more, or, like, it gave her word a little bit more weight than I think it would have if she didn't have a slight medical background.
Right.
Which is a big problem.
Yeah, but she just used a big word. That was
sure,
it.
Yeah, she's gonna use a lot of big words. But yeah, so even though Gypsy had no sign of sleep apnea, Dee Dee was still able to get a hold of a sleep apnea machine that she would have Gypsy wear to sleep. And then from there, things just escalated.
I'm sorry, what is a sleep apnea machine, and how do you wear it? Like, what does it
I think you, like, wear it over your nose, I think, and it, like, I don't know if it helps you breathe at night or if it keeps... I don't know exactly what it does, but it's, like, a big monitor that you have to, like, wear a mask and, like, sleep with it.
Okay.
But she didn't have sleep apnea. She fully did not. She had multiple tests done. None of them said that she had sleep apnea, but Dee Dee was still able to get a machine and forced her to wear it at night. Oof. So Dee Dee also said that Gypsy had reflux, and she was given medications, and a feeding tube was placed in Gypsy.
So, excuse me?
Yeah.
Like, where?
I think in her stomach. It was like a port, a feeding tube, that she was able to like feed her through the feeding tube, because she said the Gypsy,
you just like hook food up to this port and push it into
like,
her stomach,
like liquid food, yeah.
What?
Yeah, because she said that Gypsy couldn't eat solid foods, which was also a lie.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just amazed that that can happen, where you can just literally like inject food into somebody's stomach. Like,
yeah, I'm. Well, I mean, you know, for some reasons, like you need a feeding tube, but
okay,
like especially for a baby, like if they have reflux, or I don't know if what she's saying makes any sense. It might not, but she's like just... if they have reflux and they can't keep anything down, or like if they can't eat and they're not gaining weight, then you could potentially need a feeding tube to like have the baby gain healthy weight and whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
So she had a feeding tube placed, even though she didn't have this.
That's wild.
These ailments. But apparently reflux is pretty common in babies. It causes excessive spitting up, and they tend to grow out of it. So if a mother comes in claiming her child is spitting up all the time and not gaining weight, it's not crazy to think that she'd be able to get her child medication. It's kind of the feeding tube that was like weird. But so the feeding tube gave Dee Dee much more control over Gypsy, obviously. She could put anything in it, pretty much. So it was speculated that she was maybe using it to, like, poison her a little bit.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. And she, like, it also had her, made Gypsy just completely reliant on her mother.
For food.
For everything. And this lasted, like, a long, long time. This was not, like, just her little childhood, you know?
So, theoretically, she could just inject whatever she wanted into Gypsy.
Mm-hmm. She could be like, oh, this is medicine.
Like, oh, whoops, slip some arsenic in there.
Yeah, well, oopsie. She didn't do that. But, I mean, you know, who knows what she did. But so, when Gypsy was about 7 years old, she recalls riding with her grandfather on his motorcycle, and they had a small accident. Gypsy suffered from an abrasion on her knee, which is just a very fancy way of saying she scraped up her knee. Which Dee Dee said was a visible sign that would require several surgeries to repair.
She scraped her knee and we go right to surgery?
Just you wait. So she scraped her knee and she took Gypsy to the hospital and told her that the doctors gave her a wheelchair and she would have to use it from that point on. So...
because of a scraped knee?
Yeah. That was her excuse. What the fuck? That was her excuse. Gypsy had already been made to use a walker at this point, but... then she transferred her to a wheelchair, even though she was still very much healthy and able to walk on her own. I mean, she like, they did tests and she was still able to like bear weight. So I don't understand why they put her in a wheelchair, but apparently she was...
you got the ouchie on the knee, you need a wheelchair. That's how it works.
I guess so. But so even though the signs of Gypsy being able to bear weight were very apparent, Dee Dee's excuse was that it flares up and it goes away. So
whatever. Think about how many times you scraped your knee when you were a kid.
Oh yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
More than one.
Definitely more than one.
More than one.
Yeah. Well, here we are. I mean, Dee Dee, because she's going into these doctors and she's like, oh, this is what's happening at home. And even though it's not showing up right now, like it happens at home, and the doctor's not. None of the doctors were like, I'm not believing you. Yeah. Especially because she had all these other, quote, sicknesses or illnesses that
she was an NA. Yeah. So
Right. So she told Rod that Gypsy had multi-system illnesses due to her chromosomal disorder, and she would need to be fed by feeding tubes and take multiple medications and use supplemental oxygen. So she was also put on oxygen. And she also told him that Gypsy wouldn't live beyond her teen years. So now Rod begins accepting the fact that his daughter will never have a normal life and she won't live into adulthood.
So fucked.
Yeah. So Gypsy would regularly attend Special Olympics with her parents. And in 2001...
Like, you mean watch them?
No. Like,
participate
in, oh, in Special Olympics. And because Dee Dee also claimed that she was like simple, like that was her word. She was like, she's slow and simple and she has the mind of a 7-year-old, even though she's like growing up and whatever. She can only function at a child level, which was not true. But, and I'm gonna list all, I'm gonna tell you the full list of everything that Dee Dee claimed that Gypsy had wrong with her in a little bit, but this is just, you know,
setting it up.
So in 2001, when Dee Dee claimed Gypsy was 8, she was actually 10. And Gypsy was named the honorary queen of the Crew of Mid-City, which was a child-oriented parade held in Mardi Gras in New Orleans. So Gypsy stopped attending school after the second grade, possibly as early as kindergarten, but we don't know. And then she was apparently homeschooled after that, but she really wasn't. Dee Dee just wanted her to be home all the time. And we later found out that Gypsy taught herself to read by reading Harry Potter books.
No way.
Yeah.
Like, what a great introduction to reading.
I know.
Harry Potter?
Well, that's, she taught herself how to read with Harry Potter.
That's so badass. So, like, yeah. Think about teaching yourself how to read. Like, I feel like everyone takes reading for granted. Like, could you imagine not being able to read? Like, even when you go, like, go park somewhere, you have to read the sign. Yeah. You gotta read a menu.
Yeah, yes.
To order food.
Reading, like, is very much it. Reading is very much a part of our life.
She didn't know how to read when she was 8 and 10, supposedly, and then she taught herself how to read.
Yeah, she was pulled out of school and she was, you know, wow, quote, homeschooled, but she wasn't, like, actually.
This mother, like, okay, so, like, obviously, I feel like we're gonna get even into even more fucked up things, but mm-hmm, if you are taking education away from your child, especially reading,
mm-hmm,
like, if they can't read and process information by the time that they're 8 or 10, that's irreversible damage, because they can't, I feel like you can't catch up at that point.
Well,
or like, it's extremely difficult, because yeah, by the time that you graduate high school, the amount of knowledge and, like, things you should know, mm-hmm, are so large. It's just like, if you miss the years between, like, 6 and 8 or 6 and 10, you're just done.
Yeah.
You're just gonna forever be dumb.
Well, Gypsy was very smart. I mean, she taught herself how to read, and
right,
she
right,
was able to function. But,
that's,
I mean,
amazing,
if you think about...
But it's just, like, I don't know. I feel like it might be like, lost how much this mother took away from her, just intellectually.
She took a lot of things away from
her.
A
lot more.
Yes.
But this is...
And
huge.
Absolutely huge. But if you think about what she was claiming with doctors, I mean, I mentioned earlier and I'm going to mention again, she claimed that Dee Dee, or that Gypsy, was simple and slow, and she had the mind of a 7-year-old as she was growing up into her, you know, late teens and even early 20s. Right. Well, so that's what she's telling all these doctors, and she's telling her neighbors and anyone that would listen. And she got a lot of attention for this, which I will again, yeah, bring up later. But if she wanted Gypsy to have that, you know, effect on people, to be like, oh yeah, she is slow, of course she's gonna stop teaching her, like, that doesn't
it just supports
line
theory,
up, it supports
right,
her whole theory.
And then I feel like people won't question it, because
right,
it's like, how could you question somebody's child being slow, like,
right,
oh yeah, you don't know that, nobody's
yeah,
gonna question that, like,
and
obviously, like, that would be such, like, a, like, there's no empathy if you question it. It's
right,
like, of course, like, oh, I'm so sorry,
yeah,
know?
Of course this mother is
and,
doing,
like,
the best
your
for her
focus
child
is on empathy for this person rather than, like, questioning whether
of
they're
course
actually slow.
Yeah. Yes. And I had something to say, but I forgot. But we're going to get into that a little bit later. So after Rod remarried, Dee Dee moved in with her father and her stepmother. And they later claimed that when Dee Dee was preparing food for her stepmother, she would try poisoning her by putting Roundup weed killer, which
what?
Led to her stepmother's chronic illness.
Roundup?
Like, I think it was called, like, Roundup weed killer. I don't
know. Oh, yeah. No, I know what it is.
Oh, yes.
We sold it at the hardware,
oh, right,
I used to work at.
Right.
But yeah, that shit is toxic.
Yes.
Like, that shit will kill anything that it touches.
Right.
Like, that's why it's such an effective weed killer, is because it kills life.
Right.
So if you're putting it in people's food, not good.
No, poison.
In any concentration.
Yeah, sure, of course. I mean, but that's what she was doing. So, and during this time, Dee Dee had been arrested again a number of times for other things like writing bad checks and shoplifting and stuff like that.
Like, but I almost don't care about that.
Well, no, you don't.
You're trying to give Roundup to your stepmom. Well,
yeah, and she's doing...
We got bigger fish to fry here. And
that's not even the worst of it, you know? Think about her daughter. But anyway, okay, we're going to get into it.
I'm done already.
You can't be. We got a lot to go. But so her father and stepmother confronted Dee Dee about her mistreatment of Gypsy and their suspicion about her role in her stepmother's health. And so after that, Dee Dee left with Gypsy. She moved to Slidell, which is a suburb of New Orleans, but didn't tell her family where they were going. They lived there for many years without anyone knowing where they were. And also, after that, Dee Dee left her father and stepmother's... Wait. Beep boop. So Dee Dee left her father and stepmother's house, and right after that, her stepmother's health miraculously went back to normal.
I was just about to ask that. Mm-hmm. I was like, how's the stepmom doing?
Yeah, she's back to
normal. How old is she?
I don't know.
Like, do you have a general range?
Nope.
She's in her 60s, 70s?
No. No. I don't know. Probably.
She's probably around there.
Yeah, right? Probably.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And, like, when you say she disappeared, like, into the suburbs.
Yeah.
How, and you say for many years, do you, like, have a range? Like, 5 years, 10 years?
Probably,
30
like,
30 years?
Two or three.
Two
I'd
or
say
three.
Two to five. I don't know.
2 to 5? Okay.
Yeah, I'm just telling the story. I don't know.
I know you're telling the story, but I'm trying to get a sense of, like, nobody knows where they are for two to three years. Maybe five.
I think just her like, immediate family didn't know where they were.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
That's so weird. So, like, in 1991, right, mm-hmm. when this takes place, like, you could just literally move, like, 20 miles away and nobody would know where you are.
That's true, yeah. Well, that was when Dee Dee was born, or Gypsy was born, and that's... you know, way before this. But anyway, so...
But, like, in the 90s.
Oh, yes, I understand what you're saying. But yeah, so in Slidell, Dee Dee and Gypsy lived in public housing, and their bills were paid with public assistance due to Gypsy's medical conditions. Dee Dee used Gypsy to get sympathy and money a lot of the time from others. Rod was also making child support payments, which she wasn't claiming. Most of their time.
Why?
Why?
Why was she not claiming the payments?
I think she, no, I mean, like, she didn't say that she was getting those payments, but she actually was. Like, he was paying her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So most of their time was spent visiting multiple specialists at Tulane Medical Center and the Children's Hospital of New Orleans. And here's the list of things that Dee Dee claimed that Gypsy had and she was being treated for. This is her full list. Mm-hmm. So she said that Gypsy had the mental capacity of a 7-year-old, so mental retardation. She had epilepsy, impaired vision and hearing. She was paraplegic. She had GI reflux, muscular dystrophy, anemia, hypoventilation, asthma, multiple allergies, leukemia, incontinence, lung disease, and a heart murmur.
Leukemia? Based on what?
I don't know. She was, well, and it was...
Did nobody follow up? Like, if you... Okay, I took in all of this, the mm-hmm. things you said, but right. I focused on leukemia because leukemia can kill you
absolutely.
Very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Would you not get a test for that?
That's yeah.
blood cancer, right? Cancer of the blood.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I think if you get certain types of leukemia, like, you're done.
Yes.
Like, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't... Is there a test they can do? Or are you
yes.
going off of the opinion of a nurse's assistant, like a former nurse's assistant?
Right, yeah. So I, a lot of these things were very measurable, like paraplegic, muscular dystrophy. And Dee Dee would tell Gypsy to say that she couldn't move her legs or walk. And when she was very, what? Oh, yeah. So when Gypsy would act like she was doing well or whatever, she would get in trouble, and she would
so the mom would punish her,
yeah,
but then
she
tell
would,
her to give the symptoms of whatever she
yes and also I was when I was listening to someone talk about all of the things that Gypsy had or supposedly had according to Dee Dee, a lot of the medications that are used to treat these illnesses or disorders or whatever mimic what it's treating. So like it can give her this, like the symptoms or the side effects that the medication cause make it look like she has symptoms of these illnesses or disorders or whatever.
Oh, so it's a self like fulfilling cycle.
Right. And also she was telling Dee Dee not to act well. She was telling her that not to stand up, that she couldn't walk and she had to stay in the wheelchair. She was telling her to, she shaved her head because she was like, the medication is going to make you, lose your hair anyway. So we're going to shave your head now. And Gypsy is a child and this is her mother. She's not going to question her mother when right. she tells her what's up. So she's like, okay, I'm just going to do all these things. And right. she was, and a lot of her medication, like her epilepsy medication made her teeth fall out. So she...
Made her teeth fall out.
Yeah. So she was, you know...
Bald, no teeth.
Yeah. And when they would get... Yes. And when they would get tests so done awful. And they would come back normal, Dee Dee was just changed doctors. So I'm going to... We're not even halfway through. Like, we're just... Hold on. Because this
already
is...
Already done.
We're getting like derailed.
This bitch.
I know.
What the fuck?
So...
I think I told you that I didn't know what this story was about, but I think that I definitely
have heard about this. Told you about it. I was shocked when you said you didn't know about it.
I didn't know the name.
Yes.
I know this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Continue.
So Gypsy said that there would be times where she would forget to grab her walker before she was in a wheelchair, or she would walk around after she was in a wheelchair in secret. And her mother would sometimes catch her and become very upset. Dee Dee would tell Gypsy that she should have gotten an abortion when she had the chance and that Gypsy didn't understand or care about how hard it was for her to keep up everything that she had built for them. So, oh
my God.
Yeah. And
could
back
you
to the
imagine
whole,
what? Your own mother telling you
that you she should have gotten an abortion.
She should have aborted you.
Yeah. And she becomes physically abusive too. So it's not just mental abuse. Back to the whole like testing thing for like impaired vision.
I'm sorry. Does she get the death penalty?
Wait, you're not gonna.
We're not even. Are we halfway? Are we halfway through your notes?
No. And this is part one. We're gonna
I'm
have part
already
two.
On the side of the death penalty, and we're not even halfway.
Yes.
She's awful. She's yes. an absolutely terrible human being.
Yes, and she gets worse. So, back to the whole like testing thing. So with the impaired vision and hearing, those had been things that her mother told her beforehand, so that she would say that she couldn't see or hear before her doctor's appointments before they performed the tests. Like anemia and leukemia are very easy to disprove with blood tests, and asthma is easy to disprove, but Dee Dee was constantly changing doctors, like I said, and told them that she lost all of Gypsy's medical papers in Hurricane Katrina, and we're going to talk about that in a second. So she was basically writing Gypsy's medical history. So she would go to doctors and be like, we don't have the backup papers because they were destroyed, but this is everything that my daughter has. And they see this sick looking girl and they're not going to be like, are you sure? You know, I mean, they should have, there were definitely times where doctors should have done something. And we're going to talk about it. Yeah, I keep saying that, but
it's not your first inclination to retest somebody. Right.
Yeah.
If you are getting feedback from the mother who you just assume has the child's best interests in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah. And she was also falsifying Gypsy's age. I mean, we said it earlier when she was actually 10 years old, she said that Gypsy was eight. But so she kept getting a wider gap in between
right.
her ages. So, and Gypsy didn't know this. She didn't know how old she was until she was like 19 years old.
Wow.
So,
I can't imagine that.
And it also, like, people didn't know how old Gypsy was either because her mother kept dressing her and telling her to act like a child. So, you know, no one is questioning this person who Dee Dee is saying is like 10 years old or whatever, but she's actually like 15 or 16. So,
right.
Yeah. And so a muscle biopsy was done and showed absolutely no sign of muscular dystrophy, but Dee Dee still insisted that Gypsy had it, and she just switched doctors. After she told doctors that she had seizures for several months, they prescribed Gypsy seizure medication, and several surgeries were performed during this time as well. And she was a regular at the ER bringing in Gypsy for several different complaints. She was very much a regular. They knew everyone by name. Like, it was, she was there all the time.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
So back to Hurricane Katrina. So in 2005, after Hurricane Katrina, she and Gypsy left their ruined apartment for a shelter in Covington. The shelter they arrived at was set up specifically for people with special needs. Dee Dee said that her medical records and birth certificate had been destroyed in the flooding. And a doctor from the Ozarks suggested that they go to Missouri, which is where that doctor was from. So the next month, they were airlifted to Missouri. They then lived in Aurora in a rented home that was paid for by a local charity. So Dee Dee is just scamming people left and right and just getting housing and help and charity donations and all these things. And, you know, none of it is true. So,
yeah, what the fuck? Like, I can't imagine, like, you donate to a charity or just being the charity itself, and you really want to help people who are actually in need, and this bitch comes around and is just, like, sucking all the money from it for this child who doesn't need it.
Yeah. So
I'm getting more and more mad.
Yeah. So during their time there in Aurora, or...
This is in Alabama. Or no, sorry, Missouri.
Yes, Missouri. In 2007, Gypsy was named Child of the Year by the Olde Foundation, which is, they advocated for the rights of feeding tube recipients. And so in 2008, Habitat for Humanity built them a home with a wheelchair ramp and a hot tub on the north side of Springfield, so they moved there.
And a hot tub.
And a hot tub, yeah. A wheelchair ramp and a hot tub.
Damn, Habitat, go.
I know. So they, again, took advantage of Habitat for Humanity and all these things.
Dee Dee's gotten free housing and a free house. Well, I know that Habitat for Humanity doesn't give you free housing. It's an interest-free loan to pay off your house. But the house had a fucking hot tub.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, she was also getting continuous payments from Rod. Right. And she was getting donations and whatever from people who were, you know, heard her story and wanted to help out in any way they could. So she was taking advantage of everyone.
Whatever the 90s version of Patreon was.
Right. Correct. So the story of a single mother with a disabled daughter that was forced to leave her home during Hurricane Katrina, or due to Hurricane Katrina, received a lot of local media attention, and the community pitched in to help Gypsy and her mom. The outpouring of local support led to a lot of charitable donations, just like we said, and in Louisiana, Dee Dee and Gypsy stayed in the Ronald McDonald houses during medical appointments, while in Missouri, they received free flights to see doctors in Kansas City. They received free trips to Disney World and backstage passes to Miranda Lambert concerts through the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So, like I said, Rod continued to make payments every month. And Rod occasionally talked to Gypsy on the phone, but Dee Dee didn't really like for him to communicate with Gypsy.
Why?
Because, I mean, she didn't want Gypsy to, like, slip up and say something that she shouldn't say. Like, you know, expose this whole...
But I'm just wondering what her reason was.
Well, she wanted complete control over Gypsy. Well,
I know, and she did she tell Rod?
Well, so she would tell Rod, like, oh, she can't come to the phone right now. She's taking a nap. Or, oh, we have a doctor's appointment. We have to leave. Okay. And he would try to set up...
Is it Rod or Rob?
Rod, with a D.
D.
Yeah, he would set up times for him and his new wife to come and visit Dee Dee and Gypsy, but Dee Dee would always, like, last minute make up some excuse as to why he couldn't be there. And so he called on Gypsy's 18th birthday But Dee Dee told him not to tell Gypsy that she was 18. She told him to tell Gypsy that she was 14 and that, he shouldn't say that she was 18 because she didn't want to upset her or something. That was her reasoning. What? Doesn't make sense.
Didn't
want
to upset her.
Right.
It's like, actually, the time that you've belonged on this earth is not what you believe.
Right. Well, Gypsy didn't know how old she was. She kept making her age younger and younger and younger. So,
right.
You know, that's just what it was. So, Dee Dee would also tell her neighbors in Springfield that Rod was an abusive, drug-addicted alcoholic who had never come to terms with his daughter's health issues and never sent them any money. She would also tell Gypsy that her father was terrible and that he abandoned them and he didn't love Gypsy and he was happy with his new family. So that's kind of why he didn't want them to ever communicate or whatever, because she was telling Gypsy all of these lies about Rod, which weren't true. It was just Dee Dee was orchestrating
like
this
been
whole
making the payments for like decades.
Yeah, he loved Gypsy. He just
or two.
He couldn't get a hold of her because Dee Dee was in charge of everything.
Right.
So there wasn't really, I mean, he definitely should have done more and he should have, you know, tried a little bit harder, but you know, when you think that like he didn't really understand what was going on, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
It should have been better, but whatever. So many people were charmed by Dee Dee and Gypsy. Gypsy was only 5 feet tall, very skinny, toothless, with big glasses, and her voice is very high-pitched and childlike, which only reinforced that she was younger and had multiple disabilities. Right. And she was toothless because of her epilepsy medication, like I said. And we already talked about her shaving her head because she wanted to appear as a chemotherapy patient.
Gypsy had leukemia.
Yeah, because she had cancer and whatever. She was like, well, just shave your head now because it'll happen anyway. And Gypsy wore wigs and hats. And when they left the house, Dee Dee would take oxygen tanks and liquid supplements for her feeding tube. And Gypsy was really only fed through her feeding tube for most of her life, even though she never needed it and could regularly eat, even as she entered into her 20s.
Wow.
Yeah. And Dee Dee would use physical abuse to control Gypsy. She would hold her hand while they were in the presence of others and never leave her side. And whenever Gypsy would say something that hinted to the fact that she wasn't as sick as she appeared or something above her, quote, mental capabilities, her mother would squeeze her hand very tightly as a warning. When the two were alone, she would hit Gypsy with coat hangers and with her hands as well. Dee Dee had Gypsy's saliva glands treated with Botox and then eventually surgically removed to, quote, control drooling, which I can't even wrap my head around because I can't wrap my head around the entire thing, how she orchestrated this just enormous scam of all of these illnesses. But why would you, as a doctor, perform a surgery to control drooling when that's just that's not needed? Like, why would you do that?
I don't get it.
She had so many surgeries.
Is there some condition for it?
No.
Did they test for it?
I mean, they put Botox in her saliva glands, and then she was like, oh, she's still drooling. Let's take them out. And they were like, okay. How does that work?
How do you, like, produce saliva? Does she not?
I don't know.
You need that?
Yeah, I guess, I think.
I don't know.
Seems like it.
I feel like you need it to eat. You need it to break down shit.
Yeah, tubes were also put in her ears after Dee Dee repeatedly told doctors that Gypsy had symptoms of ear infections. So she had tubes, she had no saliva glands, or she had less, I guess.
She doesn't know
crazy.
What age she is.
No, she doesn't know how old she is. And so Dee Dee attended nursing school and worked as a nurse's aide, so she had a small amount of medical knowledge, which definitely had something to do with why doctors kind of just blindly trusted her at times. So Dee Dee had what's called Munchausen's by proxy, or Munchausen by proxy. Munchausen by proxy is a medical or a mental health problem in which a caregiver makes up or causes an illness or injury in a person under his or her care, such as a child or an elderly adult, or a person who has a disability. Because vulnerable people are victims of Munchausen by proxy is a form of child abuse or elder abuse. It's a little different from Munchausen syndrome because that's a disorder where the person will pretend to have illnesses or psychological trauma of their own to try and draw attention or sympathy from others for themselves. But Munchausen by proxy is, you know, for using the other person you're caring for as your, you know, attention grabbing thing. So it is definitely a form of child abuse or elder abuse, but in this case, no child abuse. So Gypsy saw a pediatric neurologist in Missouri named Bernardo Flasterstein, and he was seeing her for her muscular dystrophy diagnosis. He ordered MRIs and blood tests, which came back normal, and he became suspicious of Dee Dee when he saw Gypsy stand up and support her own weight at one of her visits. He concluded that there was no reason why Gypsy shouldn't be able to walk, so he contacted Gypsy's former doctors and found out that her initial tests for muscular dystrophy also came back negative, which was big for two reasons, because it disproved Dee Dee's claims about Gypsy's health, and also it showed the doctor that Gypsy's medical records had not been destroyed in Hurricane Katrina.
So two big lies from
two humongous lies. He suspected that Dee Dee had Munchausen by proxy. And when Dee Dee wanted access to his notes, I guess she just got access to his notes, she saw that he wrote down that she was, quote, a poor historian for Gypsy's health, and he suspected Munchausen by proxy, so she stopped taking Gypsy to see him altogether. The real kicker is that...
Wait, I'm sorry. She had access to his notes?
I guess.
Why? I've never, in my entire life, 23 years of being on this planet, I've never seen or... had any access to my doctor's notes.
No idea. Honestly, I don't know how she got it, but she did a lot of things she shouldn't have been able to do.
Okay, sure.
But the real kicker of this whole situation is that he never reported the suspected child abuse. Dee Dee stopped taking Gypsy to see him, and it was like it never happened. And I just don't understand how, as a medical professional, can you see what you believe to be child abuse and not say anything about it?
Right.
Like, even if...
It's like, well, no shit, she stopped bringing
well, yeah, her but to even
you
if
because you're what you see, onto her.
Right. Even if what you see is not child abuse, like, you're acting in the best interest of the child. So, like, yes, it would be a headache and potentially, you know, bad for the parent if they weren't actually abusing their child. But, like, at least you reported it, you know? I don't know. I don't understand how he didn't do it. But he didn't. So... In 2009, an anonymous caller did tell authorities about Dee Dee's use of false names and birth dates for her daughter and claimed that Gypsy was in better health than Dee Dee was claiming. Officers did go to her home to do a wellness check, but Dee Dee told them that she did use different names to get her and Gypsy away from her abusive ex-husband, and they believed her. They never even contacted Rod or did any further investigation. They wrote that Gypsy was, in fact, as sick as she appeared, and the case was closed. By 2010, she was legally an adult, but all of her neighbors still believed that Gypsy was a young teen. Gypsy, for a long time, didn't know how old she was. She found a birth certificate stating that she was born in 1991, which made her question her age, and when she asked her mother about it, she said it was just a typo.
Just a typo?
Yeah, just a typo. That birth certificate has a typo on it. I'm sorry, that's
what
ridiculous.
What was the typo? So... What year is it now?
2010.
2010.
Or in the 2010s.
Like, oh, yeah, your birth certificate says 1991, but really it should say 1996?
Yeah, I think she was claiming
very
95.
Very close, right? Really easy mistake to make.
Crazy.
Because people make mistakes on birth certificates all the time.
Right. So at this point, Gypsy began to test the limitations of her mother's control. So Gypsy would attend science fiction and fantasy conventions with her mother, and at one of these conventions, she met a man who she kept in touch with after through a secret Facebook account she made for herself.
Smart.
So in 2010, Gypsy showed up at a neighbor's house one night seeking a ride to a local hospital. She was going to visit that man that she met. And apparently the man had been assaulted by a group of people who had been familiar with Gypsy's medical history, who believed that he was a sexual predator trying to take advantage of a mentally challenged underage girl. Wow. So Gypsy took the birth certificate with her correct birth date, the 1991 birth certificate, proving that she was of legal age. And Dee Dee realized that Gypsy was missing and found her at the hospital. She claimed that the birth certificate was an incorrect version issued after Hurricane Katrina. She then whipped out her, quote, real birth certificate with a more recent birth date. The doctors believed Dee Dee and made Gypsy apologize.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. In 2011...
It's like... It just seems like a complete pattern of just, like, always believing Dee Dee and, like, never questioning.
Yeah. Well, she built this whole thing.
I feel like if you have two... Son of a bitch, this fly is pissing me off.
Yeah.
But, like, if you have such a, like, disparity between these two, like, birth certificates, like, you don't even question it? You know, you'd be like, let's take a look.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't question Dee Dee, obviously. I mean, and
one layer into this.
Well, she built this whole facade and maintained it very well because she had Gypsy, I mean, I guess by chance, or I don't know, maybe nurture, had a very high-pitched voice. So she sounded a lot younger than she appeared. She looked a lot younger than she appeared because she only wore children's clothes. She had a shaved head. She was toothless. She had all of this laundry list of disorders and illnesses, apparently. And all of her friends and neighbors and family believed that Gypsy was as sick as she appeared. So why would the doctors question her on this random day? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm totally Monday morning quarterbacking right now, but it would seem weird that, like, you would kind of want to get to the bottom of, like, this basic fact about how old the person was.
Yeah, definitely. But, I mean, she really used Hurricane Katrina to her advantage, and she was like, oh, everything was destroyed, and so she was able to rewrite Gypsy's history.
Right.
And just Dr. Hop, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. So after that, in 2011, Gypsy attempted to make another escape. She met up with a man. Again, I'm not sure if it's the same guy that she met up at the hospital with or if it was someone else she met up with online. But she met him at a hotel. And Dee Dee found out and showed up to the hotel and showed the man the false birth certificate showing him that she was underage and threatened to call the cops on him. Gypsy said that when they returned home, Dee Dee smashed Gypsy's computer and cell phone with a hammer and threatened to do the same to her fingers if she tried something like that again. She also punished her by keeping her tied to her bed for about 2 weeks with a dog leash and handcuffs.
Whoa.
Yeah. Very sinister stuff. Dee Dee later told Gypsy that she had filed paperwork with police claiming that Gypsy was mentally incompetent, which was basically her way of telling Gypsy that if she attempted to go to the police for help, they weren't going to believe her.
Right.
Yeah. So Gypsy continued to use the internet after her mother had gone to bed. I'm not sure with what device at this point, but she had access somehow. In 2012, Gypsy used her secret Facebook account to put herself on a Christian singles dating group where she connected with Nicholas Godejohn. He was around her age and from Big Bend, Wisconsin. Nick had a history of mental illness as well as a criminal record for indecent exposure. Do you want to know what he did to get that indecent exposure?
Yes.
I'm sorry, it's just very funny. In 2013, he had been arrested for watching porn and masturbating in a McDonald's for 9 hours.
9 hours?
How?
He put in a full work day of jerking.
In a McDonald's parking lot. Not a parking lot, in a McDonald's.
Oh, in a McDonald's.
Yes.
Oh, he's fully in the restaurant.
As the employee who notices what's going on.
And you're like... You're imagine, like, you walk in as a McDonald's employee, you're like, I'm not paid enough for this shit.
No,
and
but
you,
also...
And you start your shift, and you, like, go into the back, and you start making food, and you come out, and this motherfucker is still jerking it at the same table.
Well, also, like, someone had to have noticed before the 9 hour mark, but so it's like, at what point do you call the cops, I guess? I don't know. They're like,
I feel like you could
8 hours
immediately because it's indecent exposure.
Well,
it's also
no,
just like,
yes,
creepy.
Absolutely. But it's just an uncomfortable thing to do. And you're like, oh, I don't know what to do. But it's like,
yeah, officer, we got a jerker.
Oh my God. But yeah, it's like after 8 hours, it's like, if this dude does this for one more hour, I'm gonna call the cops. You know, like it's
nine hours.
That's crazy. Anyway, that's hysterical.
I
So He was also, when he was arrested, he had a large knife on him as well. So he's a really scary guy. I mean, so think of, he's
very mentally unstable.
Yes. Yeah. Had a large knife on him, jerking it in a McDonald's for 9 hours. Just not normal. So in 2014, Gypsy confided in her neighbor, Aaliyah Woodmansey, who was actually close in age with Gypsy, but believed that Gypsy was much younger than her. Gypsy told her that their relationship, hers and Nick's, was getting very serious, and they were planning on eloping. And they even had names picked out for their future children. Aaliyah, who considered herself to be like a big sister to Gypsy at the time, told her that she was worried about her and that it seems like he was trying to take advantage of Gypsy a little bit. So Gypsy,
yeah, also just maybe a poor choice.
Yeah.
In partner.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the neighbor didn't know about his criminal record, but still.
His McDonald's jerkin.
Right. So Gypsy and Nick flirted online for years. Gypsy had made 5 separate Facebook accounts so she wouldn't get caught. And their conversations would at times get into Nick's sadomasochistic fantasies.
Okay. I don't know what sadomasochistic means.
Violent.
Okay.
Just violent. Sure. Just a simple way to put it. It's violent. So one of Nick's ex-girlfriends tried to contact Gypsy to warn her about Nick, but Gypsy dismissed it. Because she believed that she was just a bitter and jealous ex.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So Nick told Gypsy that he had multiple personalities, one of which was, I believe, like a 600-year-old vampire named Vlad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was believed, he has multiple personality disorder.
Yeah, it was believed he either was autistic or had DID, dissociative identity disorder. So he asked Gypsy to make up other personalities herself so that his alternate personalities could have girlfriends. So so that's what Gypsy did. She had one personality that was a little girl. She had a slutty personality, and she had an evil personality. And they were all for Nick. And their conversations mostly consisted of role play. And each of her personalities had different makeup styles and wigs and, you know, whatever. So...
But she doesn't have DID.
No, she was just, like, doing this for the love of her life.
I don't know what to say. I've been speechless. My mouth's open.
Right. Yeah, so a year into their relationship, Gypsy confided in Nick about her life with her mother, and Nick told Gypsy that he would protect her, and after some time, a plan to kill Dee Dee began to form. Yeah, so they arranged a meeting in 2014, and I'm not sure if the meeting was before or after Nick knew about Dee Dee's, you know, evil side. Mm-hmm. So in 2014, Gypsy wanted to arrange a meeting with Nick where he could meet her mother. She planned everything and paid for his bus ticket to Springfield. And they devised a plan that Gypsy and Dee Dee would go to the movies, and Nick would just so happen to be there, and they would bump into each other and meet. But yeah, so this was also the first time that Gypsy and Nick would ever meet in person. All of their correspondence had been on online previously. So Gypsy obviously knew that she couldn't tell her mother she knew Nick beforehand. So she planned on meeting him, quote, for the first time that day and forming a relationship from there. So that's what they did. And when Dee Dee saw Nick at the movie theater, she immediately hated him. She thought it was super weird that a grown man would come see the live-action Cinderella by himself. That's what they're going to see. And they were like, oh, you'll just be there. It'll be fine. So she was
at this point, Gypsy is 23.
She's in her 20s. Yeah.
Yeah. It's 2014. She was born in 91.
Yeah.
It's 23.
Yeah, 23. I gotta get better at knowing ages, huh?
Yeah, right. I'm a numbers guy.
It's pitiful.
That's how I do.
Anyway.
I feel like you just have a mental block. You're like,
I just don't care about numbers.
Kill this fly.
There's been a fly flying around Alex's head for about 20 minutes, and it's getting, like, agitated at this point.
Flying head.
Yeah.
Numbers are hard.
Yes.
They're both in their mid-20s of the Cinderella.
Yes, live-action Cinderella. Live-action. So Dee Dee said he was creepy and didn't allow Gypsy to go talk to him. You enjoying that? Live action, yes. Cinderella?
I'm just imagining the scene.
Yeah. It's
It's just like crazy. There's all these children around you.
I think it was
a lone 25-year-old guy.
Creepy guy.
Creepy guy with there's Dee Dee and Gypsy. Mm-hmm. And just like how out of place they must look.
Yes. Yeah, and so during the movie, they arranged to meet in the bathroom so they could be alone for the first time where they had sex in the bathroom.
Wow.
So, yeah.
They had to be in the men's bathroom.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. So this was actually the only meeting that they would have before they killed Dee Dee, because, spoiler alert, that's something that happens.
Whoa.
So, after their encounter at the movies, they continued to talk online, and they decided the only way for Gypsy to escape and for the two of them to be together was to kill her mother. Nicholas took pleasure in planning on murdering Dee Dee, and he told Gypsy that he wanted to rape her mom before he killed her, but Gypsy was disturbed by that and told him not to do that. She bargained with him by telling him that he could rape her, meaning Gypsy, after he killed her mom, which is disturbing, but that's something that happened.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a fucked up guy. He's a very violent, fucked up guy.
I didn't know that detail.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yep.
Yeah, I have no words.
Yeah.
You get to a point where you want your mother dead so badly that you give yourself up to be raped.
Well, I mean, that's what she said to, like, I guess, make him happy, but I mean, at this point, she's...
Maybe she knows that he'll be arrested for it.
No, I don't think she does. She's already in a sexual relationship with this man who she believes is the love of her life, and she wants to run away with him so badly that she is going to kill her mother for it. But I mean, that's also for her to escape because she's being abused in every way possible. So, I mean, she said that to him, but I don't think she was like... I don't think she felt... in danger with him, you know what I mean? So yeah,
I'm just trying to
no it's still fucked up.
I'm really trying to make sense of it.
No, yeah, there's no making sense of it. A lot of this shit just doesn't make sense. Oh, the Matrix is breaking.
Yeah, I still don't know what that, like, vibrating, that's like, so like our apartment will like randomly shake violently
and have this really weird noise, and
but it's like, I want to say it's almost like a subwoofer, and then, like,
I have
you're
no
playing
idea.
like a Juicy J song. It's like super bassed up,
of course.
And but it only shakes the apartment for like what, 5 seconds, and then it stops. It's not like, yeah, somebody's playing a song,
right?
It's like something else.
And it happens every day. That's what's weird.
Every day.
But I don't know. It's just very weird. And every time it happens, we're like, the Matrix is breaking. Doop, boop, boop. but anyway, back into the story. So Nicholas had traveled back to Springfield on a Greyhound bus for what they called Plan B, a.k.a. the murder of Dee Dee Blanchard. So that day, Gypsy and Dee Dee had gone to the grocery store, and that evening they had painted each other's nails and stayed up late. Meanwhile, Gypsy was texting Nick the entire time, letting him know what was going on and what they were doing and when they went to sleep. After Dee Dee was asleep, she texted Nick telling him that she would leave gloves for him outside and to be careful because the door was squeaky. She then let him inside and gave him a knife to murder her mother.
Wow. Premeditation.
Yeah, she was definitely involved. But so I'm going to give everyone a little bit of true crime blue balls, because that's where I'm ending part one.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
That's not where you're ending.
I earlier today I said, is it okay if I give everyone true crime blue balls? And you said, yes, of course it's okay. I think it'll be fun.
No,
and I said, I'm gonna remember you said that. I said, I'm gonna remember
happened.
That you said that, because this is where I'm leaving off part one.
This is what happened. You said, can I leave the audience on a cliffhanger?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, whatever you feel like you need to do.
That's not what you said, you shit.
I said some shit like that. I said, you take creative liberty.
Well,
I did not say that.
You can be as angry as you want,
blue
but this
balls
is...
balls bullshit that you're pulling on us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm angry on the listener's behalf right now.
Well, that's fine. It just means you'll have
I'm
to
mad.
Come back for part two. Part two is going to be fun.
Okay, so... we've armed a mentally unstable man who thinks about raping people. And now we're just going to end the podcast.
Yeah, he's in the house now and with a knife and has gloves and Dee Dee's asleep. And that's where I'm going to leave you. Unfortunately. Oh, God, it must suck to be you right now. I'm so sorry.
I don't like that. That's dirty.
Well, you don't have to like it. That's where I'm Fuck ending you. Part one because it's my goddamn podcast, bitch. So that it's is part
our
one.
Our podcast.
Yes, but I'm the one telling the story.
All right.
We're done fine. Arguing.
Fine.
But anyway, do you have thoughts on part one? Any thoughts you would like to get out before we end it?
Can we just revisit that I was done with Dee Dee like halfway through this episode?
Yeah.
So a quarter way through the story.
I mean, like, I was done with Dee Dee from the very beginning when they were like, oh yeah, she probably killed her mother by starving her. Hello? Like, that's not good. I just don't understand how no doctor did anything about it, or when they did tests proving that Gypsy was not sick with whatever Dee Dee was claiming, and then she just disappeared from their care, why that wasn't a red flag to so many doctors. And there, that guy who did suspect Munchausen by proxy, because it is a very difficult thing to catch a lot of the time, but this is like a textbook version of Munchausen by proxy. Actually, if you Google Munchausen by proxy, Dee Dee Blanchard pops up first. Like, she is the picture of Munchausen by proxy. So, like, I just don't understand. It just blows my mind that this was able to go on for over 20 years, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And she, Dee Dee, or Gypsy, literally didn't have anyone she could have reached out to. You know, she couldn't reach, she never even considered reaching out to her dad because she didn't believe that he loved her or that he cared or that he was even a part of her life, even a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, she didn't have any like close friends at that point, and she couldn't go to the police because Dee Dee filed all these papers and whatever. No one believed her.
If she did, nobody would believe
her. No one believed her. So this is the only thing that she felt she could do. And I get it, you know?
Yeah, no, before you even said that, I was just about to kind of bring up, like, putting yourself in her situation.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have come to a different conclusion than I have to kill my mother.
Right. It's like, it's so fucked up, and it's
and like,
so hard, but, like, what else could she have done, you know?
Right, yeah, I'm trying to think of what else she could have done.
Because she tried running away twice.
Yeah, know? And she's kind of like, she brought that doctor a completely different copy of her birth certificate, and she wasn't believed. And, you know, her Dee Dee's filed these complaints about her having mental health issues. So, like, she goes to the police, they just don't believe her. Like, oh, you have a mental health issue.
Well, I don't think it was complaints. I think it was just informing the police of her situation. That way, if something were to happen, like, blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Right. But the point is that there's paperwork documenting that you're mentally ill.
Right. All of her friends and neighbors believe she's
right.
mentally
Does
ill.
She have,
and
she doesn't have any friends.
Mentally disabled.
Like, there's no other person. And I don't know how you could, like, and she's basically, I would imagine, so she's 23, but she probably still has the mind of a child because she was never educated and she wasn't socialized and she doesn't have all the things that you might think are automatic.
Yeah.
And that might lead a person to think rationally.
Or of course.
Within, like, moral bounds.
Right.
You know? So, yeah.
Yeah. She fully believes that she has no one, that she can't run away. And Nick is the first person to be like, I will protect you. You know?
Yeah.
So that's, even though he's this creepy guy who whatever, Gypsy doesn't know any better. She doesn't know. She's never had a relationship. She was never allowed to have friends or any time by herself. Anytime she was with her neighbors or her whatever, like, her mother was there,
right,
for the most part. So she doesn't know what's normal and what's not normal. And this man who is her age and whatever is treating her like a princess, and he's telling her he's going to protect her and that they can be together and they can have this fairy tale ending. All they have to do is get rid of Dee Dee. And
right.
I think it was Gypsy's idea, but Nick is the one that, you know, was excited about it and was like, yes, we're going to do this, you know?
Yeah, it was just a perfect storm.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's in the house. He has a knife. That's where I'm going to leave you.
Fuck you. I don't like it.
But it's okay, because next week we will get the full part two. It is just as crazy, if not crazier. So get hype. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, and you have to wait a whole week for it.
But it's fine. Sorry. You'll survive. You'll survive. Oh my god, it sucks. But like, you'll survive.
Oh, don't give me that shit.
Oh my god. Just keep breathing. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's...
palate cleanser. Oh, yeah. Tell me something socials. Good.
Well, my good thing is that I'm getting crumbs, and I already talked about it. And
we already did.
Oh my god. By the time that we record part two, I will have crumb. Part two will be recorded with crumb on my lap.
Yes,
with oh, crumb. Shit. Get excited.
Oh, I want crumb to be featured.
Crumb can be featured. I can put her nose on the little microphone and she can be like,
yep. Yeah.
You know, one of those?
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Fun.
Do you have anything good?
I'm sorting through.
Sorting through
trying
what?
Trying to find a headline.
A headline? Oh, we're doing a thing?
We're going to do a news story because my life's boring. Let's face it.
Sure.
This headline is breathing oxygen linked to staying alive.
Oh my god. Which kind of ties in with our just keep breathing. Okay.
One more. Marijuana issue sent to a joint committee.
Oh my fucking god. Okay, that's enough. No. Thank you so much.
Oh, come on.
All right.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on. All right, let's plug those socials. So, if you would like to follow us on Instagram and see all the pictures that we post and descriptions of the cases that we talk about on Instagram, follow us at nottoday_podcast. If you or anyone you know has a survival story or a true crime story or a weird creepy guy came up to me one time and told me something I didn't like to hear and then now I have to tell you about it story,
we'd write love us to hear it.
An email. We have a Gmail account. It's notodaypodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Not Today Podcast, but the end of podcast has a 3 at the end of it where
T
the
T is 3,
because that makes sense. And am I missing anything? Oh, yeah. If you like Instagram. The podcast, if you enjoy listening to us, please leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcast. It helps us out a ton. And yeah, that's really it. Thank you for listening to part one. Part two will come at you next week. We hope you come back and enjoy it. Just keep breathing and breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah. See ya.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.